All right, awesome. So, hey everyone joining us both in person and from the great beyond. I'm Anton, I'm a senior at Harvard and Mather House, and this is a CSVD seminar about building interactive websites with Bootstrap and jQuery. So we saw a little bit about how to use Bootstrap and jQuery to make our websites beautiful, and now we're gonna see a little bit about how to also make those beautiful websites interactive. So just to kind of set the topic for today, we're gonna start with three or four disclaimers. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a second. We'll do a quick review of Bootstrap. Hopefully you've seen a little bit about how it works from doing the CS50P sets, but we'll cover kind of a few of the basics in more detail to set the context for the rest of the conversation. Then we will actually see how to make our websites interactive with no JavaScript at all, just HTML, and you can already add interactivity to your websites. And then we'll add on jQuery and see how we can combine that with our Bootstrap code to make our websites even better. So for those of you kind of here in person, more than happy to answer questions whenever they come up. Okay, so to start us off, as I promised, a few disclaimers. So first, we're only going to be talking about the front-end frameworks. We're going to be talking about HTML with Bootstrap and JavaScript and jQuery. This means that a lot of stuff we do will not work in the sense that you won't be able to register users for your website or anything like that. But the beauty of this is that these frameworks are really independent, and you can build it on with any backend framework you want. So you can use Flask with Python, as we saw in class. You can use any backend of your choosing, and this will work just fine. This is also going to be largely a quick look just at what's possible with Bootstrap and jQuery. So we're going to use simplified examples throughout just to illustrate some of the main points. And of course, we're going to gloss over some of the more nitty-gritty syntax. The advantage of that, though, is that there is always a lot of support online. So the Bootstrap and jQuery documentation, both very thorough, and being the two most popular libraries used online for this type of stuff, there are so many examples everywhere. Pretty much anything you can think of, someone has already implemented either in Bootstrap or in Bootstrap and jQuery, and you can find all those examples online. Also, if you're interested in learning a little bit more just about Bootstrap, there was a CS50 seminar, I think, a couple of years ago by one of the TFs from Yale. So you can definitely take a look at that online, and that'll kind of give a much more thorough introduction to Bootstrap as a whole. Whereas here, we're just going to cover enough of it, essentially, to get our feet running and start talking about that with jQuery as well. Okay, we're going to see a bunch of code examples in the seminar. There's a coding sandbox with CS50, so you can access that there and play around with all the examples. They're all there for you. Awesome. Okay, so with that, let's chat a little bit about Bootstrap. Right, so what is Bootstrap? Why bother with it in the first place? Essentially, because as you saw in the kind of last couple of problem sets, Bootstrap makes things look very beautiful, very easily, right, with very little involvement on your part. So to go from here to here, all I did was just include the Bootstrap CSS files, link them into the head of the HTML file, and you can go from something that looks like this to a beautiful website with different layouts for your content, dynamic fonts, resizing, all of the good stuff. So a very easy way to go from something that has all the content you need to something that looks the way you want it to. One other kind of neat thing about Bootstrap is that it was really built to be a mobile-first framework. And what that means is that there's been a lot of thought goes into making sure that your content resizes automatically if you're on a phone versus on a laptop. There's been a lot of thought that goes into making sure that all the layouts look good regardless of the screen size you're on or the resolution that you're on. So hopefully kind of just with these two images and also with what you've seen in class so far, a lot of good reason to use Bootstrap, and we'll see how we can use it most effectively here. Okay, so how to get started? As I said, literally to go from this to this, all I had to do was include a few URLs in the head of my HTML file. So Bootstrap is a collection of CSS elements. That's the first style sheet that we're adding in. Just compiled Bootstrap code, a bunch of CSS classes. We're also seeing a lot of JavaScript. For the interactivity, Bootstrap relies on jQuery and JavaScript under the hood. So you need to include those as well. And then finally, there's this little meta tag at the end. This meta tag essentially is telling Bootstrap and the browser what type of device you're on. Right? As we mentioned, a lot of stuff is built to rescale automatically depending on whether you're on a phone or a laptop. That's what this meta tag is saying there. It's essentially giving the CSS and the JavaScript information about your device, how big the browser is, and then that will allow it to rescale automatically. Okay. So let's chat through a little bit of the basics of Bootstrap. And then we'll start talking about much more kind of concrete stuff in terms of how we can actually build interactive websites. So Bootstrap uses CSS classes to style all of the elements. Essentially, what that means is that you have normal HTML tags, as you've always seen. I'm not sure if nav was one that we ran into, but tags like paragraph, div, all the usual ones. And Bootstrap just adds styling on top of that with the Bootstrap classes. So you can go online to the Bootstrap documentation and see all of the different classes and what all of the different stylings that will be applied, depending on what classes you use. Also, not sure if this is something we've seen before, but essentially we can chain classes together, right? Just separating them out with a spacebar. That would give us multiple classes applied to the same element. Okay, so that's how we style things. And then how do we lay things out? Bootstrap just relies on a grid. So you have one container that wraps around all of your content. That container can either take up a certain amount of width on the screen or just fill the entire screen, regardless of what the user's device is. Inside of that container, you have rows that break the container horizontally, and then columns, up to 12 of them, that create that grid for you. Inside of each row, you can have up to 12 columns. So thinking back to this image here, what do we see on the right? Essentially, something that very likely looks like this. We have a container, we have a row inside of that container, and a bunch of columns, right? Here we just have two columns, but of course, we could always make more. So in fact, this is the HTML code styled with Bootstrap that goes into making that set of boxes with headings and buttons on the right. We have three divs that are columns. They're styled to be columns. And then this MD-4 is just specifying that we want the columns to be of medium width, and that they should take up 4 of the 12 columns, right? Remember, we have 12, and so each of these columns is taking up 4 of those. If you don't specify a number at the end, it'll just divide, right, by the number of columns you have, and they'll scale automatically, which is why here, when we just had 2, they would just take up half of the screen each, if we don't specify 6 and 6 or something like that. Okay, so fairly easily, we can get to a lot of good-looking stuff. And remember, kind of one of the core things I wanted to emphasize is that this is very accessible because you're just using the exact same HTML elements you've always been using, right? This is only a mix of divs, headings, and paragraphs. And we get that same website that we've kind of always known, but now in a much more beautiful context. So to see this more concretely, so I recreated this website with just the quick HTML. All we have is a navigation bar, that's that nav bar on the top, with a mix of A for links and buttons. And then we have the familiar stuff we've seen, just a bunch of divs, some of which are classed as Jumbotron, which is that big hello world thing. We see our container div, and then we see our row and our columns. So using just the normal HTML elements, we've recreated the exact same thing just by applying the Bootstrap classes. And just to show what I mean by making things beautiful by resizing them, so if we extend out our browser window, notice what happens as we shrink down the browser window, perhaps for a user moving from their laptop to a phone device. We make the window smaller, the content wraps around within all of the paragraphs automatically, gets bunched up a little bit closer together. And then once we're past a certain minimum width, we're gonna see the nav bar collapse down to just one button on the top right, just like you would see on a cell phone. And we can then click on that to open up the navigation bar. All of that implemented automatically. We also see our three columns collapse down into just one column where they're stacked on top of each other, just like we would see on a mobile phone. So a really nice kind of mobile first framework in that sense. Okay, so we have seen some of the basics. We just style things using classes and we lay things out onto a grid. So let's talk about how these classes actually work. Essentially, Bootstrap just has some pre-built, what's called components, which are different class stylings that you can apply to various HTML elements. For example, you might style your header tags or your paragraph tags with different forms of text. You might style forms using the two classes here, form group and form control. You might style buttons using the class button and button primary there at the end. So we're just applying classes to HTML elements. And here we see what makes the form go from just a normal HTML form to a Bootstrap form. The only difference is just those classes and then linking in that style sheet. Okay, so in this seminar, we're going to talk about two components of Bootstrap. Remember, components are just stylings applied to normal HTML elements. We're going to talk about specifically alerts and modals, and we're going to see how we can first create those and then make them interactive, first by just using Bootstrap and then by combining it in the JavaScript. Okay, so what are alerts? If you looked at the staff solution of the CS50 Finance PSET, when you registered, you probably saw this blue kind of banner across the top that said registered. That's a Bootstrap alert. It's just a div where you emphasize the content inside of that div by changing the background color, making the font a little bit prettier. All you do, you just create a normal div and then set its class to be an alert. Right? So using the alert class here and then specifying alert-primary, remember chaining the classes, we can create a blue alert rather than just a normal one, which is what that primary styling is adding. So we can customize that. We can change it to alert danger, which creates a red alert, maybe something where a user has done something wrong or they're trying to do some action that causes an error. And we can also create tags inside of the alerts. And if we use the alert link class on a tag inside of an alert, that'll make that link match the formatting of that alert. So right, normally links would be blue with an underline. Using alert link will make the formatting on that link match whatever the formatting of the alert is. Okay. The second component to talk about is modals. So modals in Bootstrap are divs, they're content that sits above the normal, the rest of the page, and kind of floats on top of it, blocks off whatever you might be seeing there. Right? A common example of this might be some kind of confirmation dialog. In the CS50 Finance PSET, maybe one of the special features you implemented was before a user sells a stock, you ask them to confirm that they want to sell. You pop up a little modal. You say, are you sure you want to sell? Yes or cancel. A modal, again, just a div where we apply certain stylings. So a modal really consists of a header, a body, and a modal footer. So the header is just the title there. The body is whatever content you want to include inside of the modal. And then the footer here would have the two buttons there for close and save changes. Okay, let's see how that actually looks. Let's see how that looks in a code example before we see how we can make these two alerts and modals interactive. So jumping back to our sandbox and restarting our terminal. So here I've used our normal Flask backend that we would have used in Python with CS50. Of course, you can use whatever backend you find most convenient because this is just the front end. Okay, so let's just go to our static alert and see what that looks like. So we see a bunch of different alerts here. And how did we implement them? With the HTML. Once we get into the body, I have my container. Inside of it, I have a heading for static alerts. HR is just the horizontal line underneath that. And then each alert is just a div that has a different class applied to it, which gives us the blue alert versus the secondary gray alert versus the green, the red, and so on. So just divs with different stylings. Okay, and then the modal, we won't go through the code right now because the modal kind of is inherently interactive, but how might the modal look? We might click a button that says launch modal or something like that, and then we would see the modal header up there where it says my modal, the modal body, the content, and then the footer that has the close button inside of it. So the modal kind of a preview of the type of interactivity that we can create very, very easily within Bootstrap. Okay, so first, as promised, we can recreate that modal without using any JavaScript whatsoever. What we just saw, you can click buttons, you can make things pop up and go away. No JavaScript at all, just the same HTML with probably under 20 characters of additional typing written out. Okay, how do we do that? With something called data-something attributes. So data attributes are a new feature in HTML5, the latest version of HTML. What happens there? Essentially, sometimes we might want to associate additional information about a certain HTML element. And we don't really have any good place to put it, right? With HTML elements, what we've seen so far are IDs and classes. Remember, IDs are supposed to be unique, and we might not refer to them in our CSS or something like that. Classes, of course, we don't want to store data about our content in the class. The class is something that's supposed to be used for CSS stylings. So what can we do? We can add data attributes. And these attributes can be essentially data dash anything, whatever you want, my favorite parameter, whatever it is. And then you can put some kind of string inside of it. And then when you're referencing that HTML element, you can get back the data that's inside of there. So for example, here, we might have the inventory for a restaurant. So they have potatoes, carrots, and eggplants. And maybe each of those have some kind of product code when they're trying to reorder from a vendor. So we can say data-product ID. and specify a string product ID for each of the elements inside of that list. And then if we're processing that list in our Python or with our JavaScript, we can get back those strings, the 1001, 1121, and 0615. We can get those back by referring to the data-product ID attribute of that HTML element. Okay, so how do we do that and why does that matter for Bootstrap? In Bootstrap, these data-dash attributes are used to add the interactivity to components without kind of any additional effort required on the part of the user. So essentially on the back end, there's a lot of JavaScript that's implemented for you in Bootstrap. And when it sees that there is some kind of data attribute on an HTML element, it knows what to do for you. So for example, we can enable dismissing an alert, right? We see this little cross on the bottom right here. How do we enable that? All we do, first, remember we style it in the same way as we would our normal alert. We just add a bunch of classes. And all of these classes you can just find in the Bootstrap documentation. But what makes it a special alert? This data-dismiss equals alert. What is that saying? It's saying when the user clicks on this button, you should dismiss something. And what should you dismiss? The element with the tag alert on it, or the alert element. Okay. So again, kind of just to quickly recap, on the back end, there's a lot of JavaScript that is implemented for you. And when you have this data-dismiss attribute, what the JavaScript is saying is it's seeing you clicked on a button, and this button is supposed to dismiss something because the attribute is called data dismiss and it's present on the button. What is it dismissing? The element with the alert. Yeah.
Could the same thing be made with onSubmit?
Yes, exactly. So you can absolutely do the same thing with JavaScript, and that's to an extent what we're going to see in the second half with jQuery simplifying the JavaScript we need. But for people that are less comfortable with JavaScript, you can do all of this just with the HTML. Okay, we can see the exact same thing in modals. Modals, a little bit more complicated, a little bit more code, but again, remember, modal is just a bunch of divs where one div defines the header, a div defines the body, and a div defines the footer. So what is different about this? We've added one more line of code from our previous modal, which is the button. So with the button, we have a data toggle, which is saying that when the button is clicked, we should be toggling something on versus off. What are we toggling? The modal that's on the page. The data target is telling us which modal we actually want to toggle. So essentially, data toggle modal is saying, what are we going to toggle? A modal, some element of type modal. And then the data target is saying, which modal would we want to turn on? The div with ID example modal. So what type of kind of, what is the string inside of data target? The sharp example modal, it's just a normal CSS selector, right? We can use sharp some ID, we can use dot some class. If we just use the naked string with no sharp or dot in front of it, it'll just select the HTML tag, right? Yep.
Are modals limited to one button, or can you have like a yes or no or confirm?
No, you can have, right. So inside of the, good question. The question was, are modals limited to one type of button? Inside of the modal, you can have whatever content you would normally have inside of an HTML page. So you can definitely have multiple buttons here, as we'll see actually in just a little bit. You can have a form inside of a modal. Whatever content, you know, is most interesting, you can put inside of it because it's just a bunch of HTML code. Okay. So what does this modal look like on an actual website? Just like that, right? So we can have multiple buttons. In fact, just in this modal alone, we actually have three buttons, right? Because the little cross on the top right is also a button in and of itself. Okay. So let's jump back to our code examples and just see this in a little bit more detail. Okay, so going back here, let's first look at our interactive alert. So let's restart Flask. And open up our interactive alert and go to that page here. So now we see an alert, and we know it's an interactive alert because it has the little X. You can click the X and dismiss the alert. If we refresh the page, what happens? The alert comes back, right? And again, we can just keep redoing this as much as we need. Okay, what is different? Just like we saw on the slides, right, all we needed to do was add this button of class close, which styles it as the little cross in the far right of the alert. And we have a data dismiss equals alert attribute, which is saying that when that button is clicked, we want to dismiss something. What do we want to dismiss? The alert that's on the page. And again, maybe if we had multiple alerts or something like that, we could add the data target attribute. to specify which alert we actually want to dismiss. Okay, now let's jump back to our example of the modal now that we understand a little bit better how this interactivity works. So in our modal example, we have a button. We can click on it to launch a modal. It pops over our screen. If we click on the cross, our modal leaves. We can launch it again. We can click on the close button also to close our modal. In fact, the way that modals are implemented, it's listening for clicks anywhere kind of outside of the modal content as well. So if you just click elsewhere on the page, intuitively, as you would expect, the modal would also close then. Okay, how are we doing this? Let's jump down to the body of our page. So just like we saw in the slide content, we have a data toggle equals modal attribute, which is saying when the button is clicked, toggle something of type modal. Which modal? The modal specified by data target with ID example modal. Okay, then we have our modal. And inside of it, a couple of things to focus on. First, this little cross in the top right of our modal when we launch it, the cross in the top right here. That's this button right here, which has the class close, which styles it as a cross. And what happens when you click it? You dismiss the data of type modal. And then again, at the bottom, in the footer, we have another button that says close. Here, we've styled it to be a button that's gray with button secondary. And what is happening when you click that button? You dismiss the element of type modal again. So no JavaScript involved on your part, but kind of recall that what's happening underneath the hood is that there is a lot of JavaScript that's pre-written, and it's just listening for when you click on certain elements. When you click on them, it's trying to read what attributes they have, if they have any of these special data dash attributes, and if they do, then it's responding appropriately. So all running in JavaScript underneath the hood, but you're not seeing that because you can just use the data attributes to pass in the commands that you want to run. Yeah?
We saw in the lecture that if the user deactivated JavaScript, then certain things wouldn't work. Does that apply to this as well?
Yes, exactly, right? So the question was, what happens if the user disables JavaScript or something like that? Recall that Bootstrap kind of relies under the hood on JavaScript to animate all of these things. And up top, when we're linking in, right, we're linking in the CSS style sheet, but then also three different JavaScript libraries. So if the user disables JavaScript, this wouldn't work. Exactly. What JavaScript libraries are we linking in? We're linking in jQuery that we're going to work with in just a sec. Popper.js is an additional library of pre-written functions that are used in Bootstrap. And then Bootstrap has pre-written a bunch of JavaScript code again to make this stuff work, which is this third one down here. OK, so we see how this can work without any additional interaction on our behalf. Right, we just specify the data attributes, say what we want to dismiss or what we want to toggle on or off, and then it kind of just weirdly, magically kind of just works, which is great. Certainly encourage you all to use that, whether you're thinking about final projects or something like that. But we can certainly make this a little bit more interesting. And how can we do that? How can we get beyond just the basic functionality that's provided for us? That's where the jQuery and the JavaScript would come in. Okay, so very quick recap of jQuery and what's happening. Right? jQuery is a JavaScript library, makes programming in JavaScript a lot easier. Their kind of branding is write less, do more. And we're going to see that reflected in their syntax in just a sec. jQuery is especially popular when it comes to manipulating elements of the DOM, the document object model. So Bootstrap interactivity, as I mentioned, is already implemented with JavaScript and jQuery under the hood. So right now, we're going to first uncover it, see how we can just recreate what happens in Bootstrap with JavaScript and jQuery, and then we're going to see how we can expand on that and make our elements even more interactive. Okay, how do we use jQuery? We just link it in the head. The previous code chunk from Bootstrap already has all of that. So if you just link in everything that was on the Bootstrap slide, you'll have all of this functionality for you. Okay, and how does jQuery work? It's a very simple syntax. It's $selector.action. So the dollar sign, just a reference to the fact that you're using jQuery. Selector is something like sharp ID or dot class or something like that. It selects an element from the HTML, and then action is the action that's being applied to that element. So for example, if we say something like dollar sign sharp test dot hide, we'll select the element with ID test in our HTML page and hide it. Dot hide is a function that will remove that from the display. So you can imagine maybe there's something like some kind of online game where there are a bunch of things popping up, like the Punch Down the Mole game. You might click on those, and they'll be hidden from the display for you. OK, So the again, the selectors in jQuery, just like the CSS selectors we've already seen, sharp ID, dot, class, and then if you just use the naked selector, that'll choose by HTML tag. So something like $ quote P would select all of the paragraph tags on that page. Okay, but jQuery is useful not just for applying actions to events kind of linearly, line by line. We can also listen for certain things to happen and then have a response to that. So for example, with dot click, click is not the action that is being applied onto the paragraph. It's listening for someone to click on the paragraph and then submitting a response to it. So in this case, what's happening? When someone clicks on a paragraph, wait, we just have the naked selector there, so that's just something with the HTML P tag. The jQuery is responding to that and is changing the text of the element that got clicked on, which is being selected with $ this, and changing that to contents have changed. Okay, this is essentially the interactivity that we're going to see that's useful in Bootstrap and how we're going to combine the two. Okay, so let's integrate jQuery with Bootstrap. First, let's just recreate dynamically closing alerts with that little button. So Bootstrap interactivity basically provides you with kind of custom jQuery functions and jQuery listeners that you can use and then respond to appropriately. So recreating kind of what we've already seen, let's just say we have a test alert, right? Just a div with the alert styling being applied onto it. And let's say below that separately, we have a button with some styling applied to it to make the button look nice. And what's going to happen below that with our script? So the script says $sharp close alert. That means select the element with ID close alert, which is that button we have below. Dot on means that rather than taking some action directly, we're listening for some kind of event to happen. So we have dot on click, which is means the function after that is going to run when the button is clicked. So when the user interacts with the button. When that's clicked, what's going to happen? We're going to select the element with class alert, which we can see right up here, and we're going to close it. What's special between jQuery and Bootstrap is this part down here at the bottom where we're able to close the alert. That's a special function that Bootstrap has written for us with JavaScript. Okay, so let's see this with our jQuery alert. And again, we will restart Flask. Okay, so let's jump to our jQuery alert. Right here, note there's no kind of interactivity built into the alert itself. We're just trying to recreate it using JavaScript and HTML alone. Okay, so what happens? We can click on the button and we'll close the alert just as if we had clicked on the button inside of the alert with data toggle. Again, we can refresh and see that same behavior. So what's happening? As promised, right? When a user clicks on the button with ID close alert, the function after that is going to run that's being listened for, and it's going to close the alert as we see here. Okay, so this is great, kind of neat that we were able to do this ourselves without relying on the magic of Bootstrap with the data toggle and stuff like that attributes, but not especially useful. In fact, I would say it kind of looks worse because you have to have the separate button, right? Why would we ever want to do this? Because now that we have this jQuery separated out from the Bootstrap, right, remember, this script here, this code in jQuery, can be whatever we want it to be. So whereas before with the data dash attributes, we were just bound to the behavior that was built into Bootstrap for us, now we can really do whatever we want with the same selection, event listeners, and functions. What do we mean by that? So let's say that rather than just trying to close an alert, we're actually going to try to dynamically change the content inside of the alert or inside of the modal, right? Something that we can't do with just Bootstrap alone. First, quickly, let's recap. Why is this bootstrapped? Because we have the class styling applied to it that's making them bootstrap alerts. And why is it closing? Because we've written this jQuery function here. Okay, so to add interactivity into our Bootstrap, let's create a modal, but rather than just using data toggle, data dismiss, all of that to open and close our modal, let's actually change the content inside of the modal depending on how the user opens it. So just like we have multiple buttons inside of the modal, we can also launch the same modal from two different locations, right? How would we do that? We just set the same data target from two different buttons. So regardless of whether the user clicks on this top button or the bottom button there in the code, we'll open up the same modal. But we will know which button the user clicked on because we have this additional data dash my favorite parameter attribute. Kind of that this is the use case we're talking about, where storing additional information about which specific button the user clicked or special information about the HTML attribute is useful. So let's create a modal that allows us to provide feedback for either Brian or Veronica, depending on which button we clicked. And this is something we might see in the Q score system later on at the end of the semester. You have to provide feedback for different CS50 staff members. We can just have a button for each staff member that will allow you to provide feedback for that person or something like that. Okay, so we have two buttons here, identical buttons. The only thing that's different between them is data dash my favorite parameter, which is allowing us to store a little bit of additional information, specifically which of the two buttons the user clicked on, whether it's the Brian button or the Veronica button. Okay, now let's go to our modal. Our modal here looks exactly the same as it has before. Again, a lot of code, but really what it is just a header that has a title in it called new feedback. It's some body content that doesn't have anything inside of it right now. And then it's a footer that has two buttons, either close or submit feedback. Note that we have the little data dismiss equals modal attribute on the close button. So we already know that when we click on close, the modal is just going to close for us. Right? We're relying on the earlier data dash interactivity that we learned with Bootstrap because we're lazy and we don't want to write out all of the jQuery just to recreate the behavior that we already have for us. We want to rely on that when we can, and then when we need to extend, that's where we can use the jQuery. Okay, so we have a modal, we have buttons. These buttons will both open up the modal because the same data target attribute is present in both of the buttons. How do we actually make this interactive, right? How do we pass in the data that we got about which button the user clicked on to somehow change the content inside of this modal? That's where jQuery comes in. So we want to change this title attribute and specify which person we're providing feedback for. Okay, so in our jQuery, recall that we can use listeners and then respond to those listeners. And then based on what happened, we can dynamically react to that. So here, we have a listener for example modal. Example modal is the ID of the modal that is being activated. And on show BS modal is where Bootstrap is coming in and helping us out. That's a custom event, which will get triggered when a modal is shown from Bootstrap. So again, show BS modal is where the Bootstrap is integrating with the jQuery. Someone wrote show BS modal is a function that will fire off when the modal is shown from Bootstrap. So when that happens, let's respond to that modal being shown, right? Whenever this event triggers, we know that our modal just popped up. The user just clicked on one of the buttons. What can we do? So first, let's extract information about which button the user clicked to actually show us that modal. How can we do that? With this event.relatedTarget selector. This is a custom selector, just like example modal. But in this case, we're kind of making a self-reference to the event that just happened. So we're selecting the thing that launched the modal, essentially, with this event.relatedTarget. This is just giving us whichever button launched the modal. What do we want to do? We want to pull out of it, remember, the data dash. So we want to pull out of it the data that was stored in data dash my favorite parameter. So recall that my favorite parameter varied between Brian and Veronica, depending on which button the user clicked. So on this first line here, we're going to go back, look at the HTML code, pull out the button that was used to launch the modal through event.relatedTarget. And inside of the variable recipient, we're going to store either the string Brian or the string Veronica, depending on which of the two buttons the user had clicked on. OK, now let's actually update the modal. Right? Remember that we're trying to change the title of our modal. So rather than just saying new feedback, we want this to dynamically change depending on which button the user had clicked. OK, let's select the modal. Again, this is a special selector that just selects the current HTML element. How do we know what this is? It refers to whatever was up here. So the modal with ID example modal. Okay. Inside of the modal, we can find an element with class modal title. We see that element up here. It's whatever we're trying to select. So we found it inside of the modal. And then we can set the text inside of it to something different with the dot text function. The dot text function just replaces the text inside of some kind of HTML element. We want to replace it with new feedback for, and then put in our recipient dynamically. So what do we expect is going to happen now? If we click on the Brian button, we're going to have to provide new feedback for Brian. If we click on Veronica, we're going to provide new feedback for Veronica. Okay, let's see this in action. Now with our jQuery modal, new and improved. Okay, and let's go to jQuery modal. So we see we have the two buttons that we had written in our code before. Those are down here, just two buttons, one for Brian, one for Veronica. What happens when we click on feedback for Brian? We get a new modal that pops up and it actually says new feedback for Brian. So using the custom jQuery that we just wrote, we are able to bring together the HTML and this new interactive modal, right? We're able to make our interactivity customized and not just rely on the built-in data toggle, data dismiss functions that are pre-written for us in Bootstrap. So why is this actually useful, right? Of course, kind of it's cute to write new feedback for Brian, new feedback for Veronica, which we see would happen if we did this, right? But for example, something we might do is we might have a form inside of the modal where we pre-fill one of the inputs using this exact same setup here. Then when the user submits that form, that content will get passed into our backend, into our Flask and our Python, and then we can deal with it more dynamically there. So this essentially allows us to keep passing information onwards in a very interactive way and make our beautiful websites much more interactive, much more customized, depending on what the user is doing. So for example, now if the user clicked the button Submit Feedback and we had implemented this a little bit more thoroughly, we could have passed through the value of Veronica without the user having to type anything else additionally inside. Why? Because we know, again, how the user actually got here, right, with the Veronica button, so we can keep passing that information on without the user having to provide us that information in every single step again. Okay, awesome. So, again, our usual stuff about modals is still present here. Right? We have the close button, the submit feedback button. Because we're only focusing on the front end, submit feedback won't actually do anything. It's just a button that we can press. But if we close, we'll see the modal get closed out. Okay, that brings us to the end of kind of the structured portion of our conversation. As we wrap up, just wanted to touch on two or two and a half really good resources to learn more about this if you want. So the place where you can learn everything you want to know about Bootstrap, in addition to Claire's awesome seminar from a couple of years ago, is just in the Bootstrap documentation. So if you go to documentation, you can go to components, and then you can see everything you can implement in Bootstrap. Alerts, badges, breadcrumbs, buttons, all different sorts of things. If you just click on one of those, you will see what different stylings you can apply and what that will actually look like. So essentially, this documentation is a massive repository of classes that you can apply to different elements to style them. Right? So if you want a yellow button, you'll set it to be button, which will make it look pretty. And then you'll set it to button warning, which will fill it inside with yellow and make sure that the text is appropriate. Because we don't want, for example, white on yellow text. Okay, two additional resources that I think were very, very helpful with this. First, the Bootstrap 4 tutorial on W3 Schools. You can get all of the examples, all of the content, and this will show you how to implement that with much more interactivity than just the Bootstrap documentation. And then the jQuery tutorial, right? Essentially, kind of all we're doing is writing jQuery, but in a special way that allows us to reference the HTML elements in the Bootstrap that we had before. So two really great tutorials in terms of Bootstrap 4 and jQuery on W3 Schools. And then if you just want references for Bootstrap specifically, you can always go back to the Bootstrap documentation. Okay, awesome. So I think that wraps us up. Of course, happy to chat about any questions, how to see this kind of more in practice, how this might apply to final projects. If not, thanks so much for coming.